This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. In Shakespeare's play Romeo and Juliet, Juliet asks, "What's in a name? This which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Dartmouth College professor emeritus Andrew Garrod knew that passage would take on added meaning if he staged Romeo and Juliet in Rwanda with children of both Hutu and Tutsi ethnic groups in leading roles. Ethnic violence in Rwanda left as many as a million people dead in 1994. Andrew Garrod hoped the bard would bring both meaning and healing to the Rwandans in the play and in the audience. A documentary film crew was there to record what happened, and it didn't go exactly as expected. What the director thought would be a film about the healing power of art turned out to be a cautionary tale about imposing your values on others. The resulting film is called Rwanda and Juliet, and it's screening October 10th at Meredith College. The film's director, Ben Proudfoot, is joining us now by phone. Hello, Ben.
Good morning, Frank.
Good to talk with you. Tell us about how you came to be connected with this project and Professor Andrew Garrod.
It was a fluke. A friend of mine, a filmmaker, Julian Higgins, who's a very accomplished filmmaker, he knew about Andrew. His mom worked at Dartmouth College, and he was going to make the documentary. And about a week before Andrew was going to leave, Julian broke his arm and could no longer go. So he called me and he said, "Somebody's got to make a documentary about this. You have to meet him and talk to him on Skype, talk to Professor Garrod on Skype." So I did, and I was skeptical at first. And, you know, as soon as I talked to him on Skype, and he's a very compelling character, and he was very determined about what he was going to do, I thought, you know what, this will be a very interesting documentary, and I'm going to learn a lot, and it's probably going to be a pretty interesting story. So I dropped everything and got an emergency visa to Rwanda.
Well, and just what was it that he was determined to do?
Well, Andrew Garrod runs an organization called Youth Bridge Global. It's been around for quite a few years, and what he does with that organization is he mounts Shakespeare plays and musicals all around the world in communities with young people, in communities that have a history of, you know, violence or fracture or extreme poverty. So, you know, Rwanda was the most recent iteration, but he's done same or similar things in Bosnia and Herzegovina and the Marshall Islands and elsewhere. So this is sort of his program that he does in the summertime. But this was the first time he was going to try to do that in Rwanda.
I'll run a little clip from the trailer that gives you an even broader sense of what the aspiration for this film was.
My suspicion is there has never been a production of Romeo and Juliet like that in Rwanda, and there never will be again.
I want to be in that play.
It's sad because there are many people who are good that we're not going to be able to give roles to.
I quit the job for Romeo and Juliet.
If you say, what's the play about? It's about love. It's about generational differences, but it's also about the folly of fighting. I don't know quite what they bring with them.
So there's a clip from Rwanda and Juliet, directed by Ben Proudfoot. Meredith College will screen Rwanda and Juliet on October 10th at Kresge Auditorium at 7 o'clock in the evening. It's free and open to the public, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. So Romeo and Juliet, the quintessential story of love divided by these tensions within the community. And Professor Garrod thinks, why not bring this to Rwanda, where they've had, as we say, upwards of a million people killed in 1994 in ethnic violence. What was your sense of what you were going to see when you got there, and how this was all going to play out?
I was wrong about what I thought Rwanda would be like today. I was pretty average in terms of my knowledge about Rwanda. I had learned some of it in high school. I had seen Hotel Rwanda. I had seen Shake Hands with the Devil. As a Canadian, you know, Romeo Dallaire's story is pretty well known. But I didn't know very much at all. So I was pretty worried. I didn't know if Rwanda was safe or not, which I think is most people's point of view. They have no idea of what Rwanda of 2016 looks like. And of course, I watched every possible documentary I could, which are all extremely powerful documentaries about what happened in 1994, with a sort of heavy layer of contrition in that, you know, we didn't do it, the UN didn't intervene like they should have. So going in, I expected it to be not very safe. I expected there to be a lot of tension, visible tension between Hutu and Tutsi members. I expected a lot of poverty, like extreme poverty, in Kigali. And, of course, what I found when I got there was entirely different. The Rwanda of today could not be more different than the Rwanda of 1994. Everyone has a cell phone. Kigali is a growing city. There's skyscrapers and movie theaters and coffee houses. And the young people are increasingly distancing themselves from any connection to Tutsi or Hutu heritage, and a lot of that divide is completely hidden and submerged, the tension is not visible whatsoever.
Well, and I think the other misconception that was promoted or allowed to persist in Western media is that, you know, 'twas ever thus, that these are two ethnic groups that had always been at each other's throats and it erupted in this terrible violence. And, of course, it omitted the part of the story where the Germans first and then the Belgians promoted this kind of ethnic division by dividing Hutus and Tutsis who had some vague separation but were divided quite deliberately. And the Germans and then the Belgians passed laws that preferred the Hutus, which was a minority, over the Tutsis. And this created tensions.
Yeah,
that part of the story didn't get told as well. And so we got the sense that, oh, yeah, there they are again, fighting like they've done for millennia.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, it's questionable because we don't have all the history. But more or less, it's even questionable to call Hutu and Tutsi ethnicities.
Exactly.
In that they're more of a class
right.
System imposed by Belgian colonial power rather than a true lineage going back.
Right.
It's a problem that the Western world imposed, which is, you're right, not a story that enough people know.
So then there comes this sort of idea that Professor Garrod will maybe impose an idea of reconciliation, and that became a source of tension as the production went on. Tell us what happened as the production moved forward.
Yeah, so one of the major conflicts in the movie is between Andrew's mission there in Rwanda, which is not simply to put on a play, but to put on a play with the purpose of reconciliation. And some folks in the cast thought that was great and thought this was a great way to look at history and talk about history and, move forward and talk about things that are hard to talk about. But other members of the cast felt very strongly that, neither was it Andrew's place to come and talk about reconciliation, and they felt bamboozled that this was the purpose of the play because it wasn't immensely clear from the very beginning. And they felt that Rwanda had reconciliation not only in name but in action as well. And Tete, who is Juliet in the play, is sort of the voice for that group of the cast, who sort of notably in the film says, tell your white people next time they come to Rwanda, don't come here talking about reconciliation. We don't need it.
Now I want to play another clip from the trailer that includes that and more. Let's listen.
What are you guys benefiting from this project? Yeah.
We've got the wrong cast if they think they should be paid. Who promised them? I never promised them money.
You gotta shake yourself, boy.
Don't be so stupid.
Tell your white people, your white friend or whoever, not to come back again in Rwanda talking about reconciliation.
Your play must emphasize reconciliation.
We don't need people from outside to teach us about reconciliation.
Sorry. I've set in motion the aspirations and hopes of a very large number of people. I can't stop now.
That's from the documentary film Rwanda and Juliet. Meredith College was screening Rwanda and Juliet October 10th at Kresge Auditorium. We've got details at our website. So, Ben, give us a sense of how this tension was resolved.
Well, essentially what they asked for was to be paid. If they reject the idea of being volunteer reconciliation activists, then why are they doing this? And so the cast said, well, we should be paid. And, of course, Andrew refused. I mean, how it was resolved, it's hard to explain. And like anything, it was complex. the movie climaxes in this massive tension where the play looks as though it's going to fall apart. And truly, believe me, being there, I thought the show will not go on. But I think, you know, pivoting back to the power of theater, which is sort of a core theme of the whole thing underlying everything, there is a huge power and electricity to the show must go on. And I think that, in the end, is what made them come together and put on the play.
Yeah, it is. It is enormously complex and therefore powerful in that way. And with me in the studio now is Gary Walton, who is the dean of the School of Arts and Humanities and an English professor at Meredith College. Rwanda and Juliet will be screened October 10th at Kresge Auditorium. And let me ask you, first of all, welcome you to the program, Gary Walton. Good
Thanks,
to have you
fine.
Here. So tell us about this. Why use this film, Gary Walton? Why bring this here? Because it's, I think, to promote some conversations. Tell us about the decision to screen this film.
Well, of course, my students think that I see Shakespeare everywhere and want them to see Shakespeare everywhere. But I think it really is a belief that many of us share that art, drama, music has the power to change the world, and that Shakespeare has a particular power in that way. So for Andrew Garrod to say, I believe in the power of art and I want the world to be a better place, and to put those two things together makes that immediately appealing to me and to many other people. I think at the same time as I watch the story that Ben shares with us, it invites me and it invites the students who look at that story to think about some of the predispositions and assumptions that we bring to this kind of operation. I mean, you and I have had friends who've worked all over the world. Sometimes it's a housing project. Sometimes it's a water purification project. But because Garrod had talent and experience with theater, he said, that's going to be my way. And to me, it's shorthand, you know, world peace through Shakespeare. Yeah. And that's appealing to me. I believe in Shakespeare. I believe in world peace. But I want my students to think with me about using that vehicle to reach that goal.
And, of course, Shakespeare is universal in his appeal and global and timeless. On the other hand, if you haven't had exposure to the history and what brought him about in the context in which he wrote, just plunking down a bundle of Shakespeare in a place where that has not been the history, without first unpacking what went on, the drama there from the people there, that could lead you into some trouble.
And probably middle school and high school teachers will tell us that that's what they do yeah. every year, because they bring in something they believe very powerful, Shakespeare plays, and bring them to a group of 7th graders, 10th graders who don't quite get that relevance and don't see how it connects with their lives. So I think teachers experience a variation of what Ben shows in the film, how to take something we love that we believe speaks powerfully and communicate it in a way that students can find their own way into that power, into that meaning, and take away not what we have loved and what we have learned, but find something they can love and can learn and take away with them. One of the things I say to my students is, it is the most powerful and serious moments in your life that you will turn to literature. You'll want a poem for your wedding. You'll want something to use at your parents' funeral. And you'll want somebody to be able to communicate better than you do the things that you really feel strongly about. And it's at those moments you're going to go back to that literature class you were trying not to fall asleep in, pull out some of those lines and use them. And I think this project is one of those attempts to say that Shakespeare said some things that we all feel really well, really powerfully. In trying to figure out what those plays are about, we'll learn something about our lives and our world and our aspirations and the problems we're going to run into.
Well, and you as a professor and a lover of Shakespeare will have noticed that it means something, a play will mean something different to you every time you see it and every time you read it. And partly it's the new context in which it's placed. If you think about Romeo and Juliet and its themes placed in Rwanda, as someone who thought they knew all about the play, seeing the disorder created by that feud and seeing it as we always have, oh, this disorder has created disruption in the society, taking one step back and saying, wait a minute, that feud is social order. Separation and division is how things work in that town, and everybody has been is complicit and has a side, and they're kind of comfortable with it. In fact, when the prince says, we've got to stop this, and nobody runs to his side because they've all picked a side, because social order has depended on division. Now in Rwanda, the professor could learn something about what Shakespeare may have had in mind.
And one of the most beautiful things to me about Ben's film is that he shows those wonderful shared aspirations at the beginning when you have a character say something like, we just want to have peace. This play will teach some people about love. Clearly, at the beginning of the story, they're on the same page, or they bought into that line at least. And then at the end, when you hear that actor say, tell your white people not to come back here and talk to us about reconciliation, Ben shows us that through line. And I think it's really powerful for us to see how the professor learns from his actors as the actors are learning from interacting with those Westerners who come to teach them something wonderful about Shakespeare.
Ben Proudfoot, did you get a sense that some of that happened, that Professor Garrett did learn from this experience as well as he may have learned, and so did his students?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can go through. Well, first of all, I very much identify with what Gary's talking about in terms of you know, the power of theater and what theater can do, and I've experienced that as a student and as somebody acting in a play. In terms of what Andrew learned and what the students learned, I mean, I think everybody, and it's in the film, got something out of it, whether it was more conviction in their own ideas or a new perspective having done the play. I don't know if what Andrew learned, to be honest. You'd have to ask him. I think probably he'd give you a few lists of practical things about putting on a play in Rwanda, but I don't think this experience changed his worldview. And I feel pretty strongly about that, other than just sort of expanded you know, his theories as they were when he went into it. But I mean, the other really interesting thing to look at too is if you look at the story of the Rwanda genocide and you look at the story of Romeo and Juliet, there's some extremely important differences to note. You know, calling the Rwanda genocide ethnic violence is really not clear enough. It was, you know, it is complex, but it really is one group killing the other group.
Ben, I'm going to have
the Hutus killing the Tutsi.
I'm going to have
minority.
Ben Proudfoot, I'm going to have to stop you right there. Director of Breakwater Studios, producer of Rwanda and Juliet. You can find out about the screening at Meredith College at our website, stateofthings.org. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow.